Well, we meet again. I must say, did you lose weight? You look very, very thin. And you're extremely attractive today. Okay, that's enough.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Mm-hmm. Hold on tight. Mm-hmm. Things can get a bit weird.
Oh, yeah.
If you like that sort of thing.
Oh, baby.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It says it on my driver's license and on my birth certificate, and it's also written in crayon on the back of all of my t-shirts. My mother sent me to summer camp. I don't think she disliked me as much as she wanted to get rid of me. And murder would have been too obvious and put her in jeopardy for the rest of her life. So she decided that during the summer months, she would get rid of me. Rather than lock me in the basement, which is the common way of getting rid of children, she sent me to summer camp. And when I say summer camp, they call it sleepaway camp. Sleepaway, Ron. Don't sleep here. Sleep away somewhere else, please. My mother thought that by getting me out into the public, into the arms of other children, and into society, and to socialize me, would be very good for me. Obviously, it had the opposite effect. I go through all of my adult life pretty much wondering why all these other human beings are roaming the planet with me. Don't you want to go to sleepaway camp? Sleep away. Get out of my face, people. I have a love for humanity, but a frustration with the way they act. So it didn't work at all. Anyway, my parents sent me away to sleepaway camp, which meant as soon as school ended in June, by the first week of July, I was like on a bus shipped off to upstate New York for the entire summer through all of July and like 3.5 weeks of August. It's like my parents said to people in the Catskills, "How long can you take my child for? Can I pay you extra to keep him longer?" Now, my parents didn't travel a lot during the summer. It's just that they wanted me out of the house for various reasons. I was actually a very easy child. I really was. I understand I was a terror as an infant because I was a colicky baby. I had a lot of gas. I still do. But we don't have to get into that, do we? As I became a teenager, like, you know, 12, which isn't teenager, but, you know, it's close to it. When I became, you know, when I was able to walk and go to school and think on my own, like at 10 or something, or 9, I think 9 is when my mother said, "Enough of this breastfeeding stuff, let's get on a bottle." I think it was earlier than 10. I really don't have any recollection of specific age groups. But my mother thought that, So I was a very easy child, so I don't know why they tried to get rid of me. I guess they wanted alone time, and I suppose I understand that. Alone time is wonderful. It's wonderful. It's nice to be alone with your significant other without little children running around. As much as we love the little children, oh, we really do. As much as we love the little children, it's nice to just have your own time for a certain period. And that's what happened. My mother wanted time alone with her certain period. And so they got rid of me. There's no other way to put it. They got rid of me. They will use the excuse that they tried to socialize me. And you can't socialize me. What you fools. You think you can socialize me? That's like putting a saddle and a harness on a raging bull. You can't do it. Don't even buy the saddle, man. You're just wasting your money on good leather. Isn't that insulting? You're a bull, and they put like a saddle on you, made from your own hide. Ouch. That hurts. Man, that's an insult. Anyway, so I go to sleepaway camp, and I can't stand it. It's a horrible, horrible thing. The kids are just horrible, and the counselors are horrible. Everybody's horrible, and we all make the best of it. And some kids actually love going to camp, and again, I said, like, what's wrong with you? Why would you want to be here when you can be at home sleeping? What is wrong with you, kids? I didn't fit in with anybody. But I had sexual urges. I started having sexual urges, and summer camp was a perfect place to exercise them. It was great. Because on this summer camp property, there was a boys' camp, and on the other side of the recreation hall, which is where we also had our meals, on the other side of that was an entire girls' camp, and they were all segregated. So, not segregated, they were divided, you know, you weren't supposed to touch the girls, talk to the girls, be with the girls, nothing like that. Boys stay in the boys' camp, girls stay in the girls' camp, that's it. Well, of course, when you have horny kids who are just trying to discover their sexuality, you know, playing sports all day, not really. Checking out the girls and the guys at night, yeah, that's what we're there for. And that's what I did. There was a group of boys that were along the same lines as I. I'm a Scorpio. I'm sexually driven, but only when I want it. I'm not sexually driven all the time, but when I am, it's a remarkable situation. So there was this group of two, three other boys living in what they called it a bunk. These cabins were called bunks. And it was, there would be like 12 boys all sleeping in this large cabin in their own beds. But it was just, it was a little odd, I got to tell you. Unless you're preparing yourself to go into the armed services, the summer camp stuff makes no sense whatsoever. No sense whatsoever. There was no situation in my entire life when I became an adult that I wanted to sleep in a room with 12 other boys. It just didn't happen. It never would, and it couldn't. Maybe that's because my sexual orientation is heterosexual. But otherwise, there's just no point to that. So what did we do? When it got dark outside and it was time to go to bed, the three of us would put some clothes on and we would sneak into the woods. And we would go into the woods and circumvent this recreation hall that was in the middle of the two camps. And we would go through the woods and we would end up on the girls' side. And there were the cabins. Beautiful cabins filled with beautiful girls. Girls that were discovering their sexuality as well. It was a perfect match. A match made in heaven. Boys discovering their sexuality. Girls discovering their sexuality. My goodness. What's going to happen now? Well, I knew. And it'd be dark outside, and all you'd hear would be the crickets and the howling of the coyotes and the bears crunching on other children's skulls. And we'd get through the woods quietly. We were experts at moving through the woods without breaking twigs and making noise. We were great. We could have been, we could have been like soldiers or you know, elite military men. We made no noise whatsoever. We were very careful. And in front of us stood the cabin of the girls who were our age. Cabin number 9, housed with 12 beautiful, horny women, our age. We didn't know who they were. We didn't care. They were girls in the same boat as we were. Now, girls never, like, snuck into the woods and came into the cabins on the boys' side. There were some times. But usually not. It was the boys that had to circumvent through the woods. And I think the camp counselors, the adults who were like in their camp counselors were like 17, 18 years old. It's not like they were like 70-year-old people. They kind of didn't really care. Otherwise, they would have had like search parties in the woods to make sure that the kids weren't going to raid each other's cabins in the middle of the night. But they didn't do that. They kind of knew. So there was the cabin number 9. And we snuck in through the back. This back door. The door opened slowly and it was dark inside. We couldn't see the girls, but the girls knew when the cabin door opened in the back. It was the guys from the other side, from the other camp. They knew it. And they wouldn't say a word. They welcomed us. They welcomed us with open arms. And we walked into that cabin. And the girls were all receptive. Now, some of the girls just stayed under the covers in their beds. They were the dorks. They were the ones that weren't going to participate. But most of the girls in there were very friendly and very welcoming. And we would climb into bed with these girls. There'd be no sex because it wouldn't be time. But we started forming relationships and kissing and hugging, and that was good enough. Always keeping an ear out toward the front of the cabin for a camp counselor. If a camp counselor came in, we'd be screwed. But I didn't care, because the worst they could do is throw me out of the camp and send me home. Oh my God, what a horrible thing that would be. That's what I wanted. So there were no consequences. There was no summer camp jail or something. There was nothing like that. They would expel you and send you home. Oh, no. And I say, oh, no, sarcastically. I developed a relationship with one of these girls in cabin number 9. She was into me, man, and I was into her. And this became almost a nightly situation where the three of us, around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, would start sneaking into the woods and going to cabin number 9 and checking out our girlfriends and making out and getting real close to having sex, but not actually having it. But close enough. And we knew by 11 o'clock at night we had to be out of that cabin, because that's when the counselors started going back into the cabin to check things out. We'd have to be gone by then. And again, I didn't care if I was really caught or not at all, but it was more fun to play the game like a commando. Oddly enough, I ended up dating this girl. When the summer camp was over, we hooked up and we had a relationship. Didn't last for a lifetime, lasted for about a year beyond summer camp. And then I remember it was the end of the school year, and I contacted her and I said, are you going back to the summer camp? She says, no. My parents won't let me go back. I said, why? She says, well, I told them about our relationship and how you guys used to sneak into our cabin at night. I said, yeah. I said, no, you're not going back to that camp. No way. It was a sad day. For a while, I was looking forward to going back to summer camp so I could have more sexual romps at their expense, but it wasn't to be. It wasn't to be. So in a sense, my parents trying to socialize me kind of worked. I was socialized. But to this day, I still don't care for people all that much.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
I went to an Italian restaurant last night for dinner. A very expensive restaurant in a town called Lexington, Massachusetts. Lexington and Concord, where they had many of the battles from the Revolutionary War. I guess the result of that was this Italian restaurant. Very expensive. A small plate of spaghetti was $15. Excuse me? $15 for a small, and I want to, when I'm saying the small plate of spaghetti, it's small, it's tiny. It's about the size of your fist, which is what you want to use when the server brings over a tiny bowl of pasta like that for that kind of money. Everything was crazy. Prices were absurd. How much does it cost to boil some pasta and put it on a plate, man? $15? What? But what confused me, I had to keep going to my smartphone, which admittedly is so much smarter than I could ever be. Because they were naming these pastas shapes that I had no idea what they were. I know what spaghetti is. It's that long stuff that you twirl with the fork. Very, very tasty. I know ravioli. I know ziti. I know penne. I know the egg noodles, I know they're broad and they're thin. And the bow tie pasta, I know that. I know how to do a bow tie pasta. That's pretty much it. Fettuccine, thin spaghetti. It's pretty much it for me. For some reason, when you go to some of these northern Italian restaurants, they use terminology to make sure that the customer doesn't know what the hell you're talking about. And I never realized how many different pastas there were. Oh, it's all the same stuff. It's just different shapes. And to be honest with you, for the most part, I don't give a crap about the shape of the pasta. Put it in a bowl, put some sauce on it, and let's go to town. Do you think the shape of the pasta is going to excite me one way or the other? Here are some of the different types of pastas, and I'm just floored by why we're even bothering having so many varieties of shapes of pastas. Why? What's the point of that? There's Barbina, which is like a thin strands that they use for nests. There's Bigoli, those are thick noodles. Bucatini. That's a thin spaghetti. Bussiette. I don't even know how to pronounce that. That's just a long, I mean, that's like a twisty long pasta. Cappellini. Very, very thin. Again, another thin spaghetti. Fettuccine. Again, another thin spaghetti. So why are we using? There's a fusilli, which is a corkscrew shape. Fusilli bucate, which is a hollow version of the fusilli. There's Persiotti, Maitre Catalani, Picchi, which is a long hand-rolled pasta. There's the spaghettoni. I guess if your name is Tony, you eat spaghettoni. If your name is Tina, you eat spaghettina. What? There's vermicelli, vermicellioni, ziti, zitone. There's lasagna noodles. I know what that is. Did you know there's a lasagna et noodle, which is a narrow version of this lasagna? There's lasagnotte, a longer version of lasagna. There's linguini, mafed, short rectangular ribbons. I mean, there's another like 30 here of sizes. It's just, there's an anelone, calamarata, cannoli, calavatini, cefarone, di galante, fagaloni, fagabadadadona, gibralatisanotone, macaroni, macaroni, manacatata. Oh my God. It's all the same stuff, just different shapes. I don't know any other food or any other thing on the planet that is the same damn thing, just different shapes. The honor of naming all these things for pasta is amazing. We don't do it to people. Look at that lady over there. She's like figaloni shape, isn't she? Yes, I'd say more of a papatoni. No, I think figaloni. I think papatoni. I think figaloni. I think papatoni. Although there could be a tinge of tagolosinoli. Yeah, you're right. There's a touch of penne in her hips. Yeah, I think that's more facoloni. Oh yes. I don't get it. And the real Italians who know how to pronounce this stuff, they only use this terminology. They don't say pasta. They use the terminology knowingly that you don't know what the hell they're talking about. It makes them seem elite. If naming a shape of a pasta makes you feel good about yourself and above everybody else, then go on and do it. But when you're going to spout off all these different shapes to me, I have no idea what you're talking about. What these words are that you're using. You're just doing it to piss me off. You know that. You're naming stuff in Italian to piss me off. And it's not just Italian people that do it, although they're very good at that. Italian people, they'll speak English perfectly, but when it comes to naming a certain type of pasta, a certain type of Italian thing, all of a sudden they break into their accent. It's like, yeah, hey, you know, we're going to go down to the bar. We're going to watch the game. The game's on at 2 o'clock. We're going to go down with Sid and Joey. We're going to sit at the bar and watch the game, man. It should be a great game. Yeah. Then we're going to, what I always love to order, the facalalacupalalalalone. After the game, usually, we sit there and, you know, we'll have a couple of beers. And then we'll order a large plate of It's very, very odd. I don't quite understand what they're doing. Seem very elite, very elite. At that point, I usually leave. I wouldn't go to begin with, to be honest with you. I wouldn't even bother. If you're going to speak Italian like that, go do it amongst yourselves. Leave me out of it. Again, summer camp didn't work. I did not walk amongst you, and it didn't work out. I am not. I pretty much dislike society as a whole, and camp didn't change that at all. Camp kind of like made it definite for me. We're going to send Ron to summer camp because he hates people. We got it. We got to get him in the mix. We got to make him to love people because that's what's on the planet. I will send him to summer camp, and then we'll have alone time. But I only came back crankier. Hey, Mom, Dad, how are you? Happy fall. Happy autumn. Ron, how did you like summer camp? I didn't. I didn't. I discovered my sexuality, but other than that, I think I could have done that at home in my room with the door locked. You know, I just didn't really see the point to all of this, to be honest with you. You wasted your money.
Yeah, but we had a great time.
Oh, shut up. Just shut up. I've never told my parents to shut up. I was a very respectful kid. Never told them. Never uttered a curse word in front of them. Even if I hit my finger with a hammer, I never said a curse word in front of them. Never smoked in front of them. Never had any fits in front of them. Nothing like that. Very respectful. Very respectful of them. Never the word shut up was never muttered. That was a bad thing to say. Very, very bad. I was raised very properly. Or improperly, I don't know which, actually, to come to think of it. Hey, kids, here's the thing. Have you ever gone to one of those... Do you have a website? Do you have a website? A lot of you just have Facebook. You be careful with Facebook. I mean, you might as well just open up your wallet and give it to everybody. Here's my social security number. Here's my driver's license. Here's where I live. Here's when I'm home. Here's the people I like. Here's the people I don't like. Here are all my friends right in front of you. Here are all my passwords, the names of my dogs. I guarantee you the name of my dog is in my password with a couple of numbers after it. There's no question about it. You can see when I was born, what I like, what I don't like. You can market the hell out of me. You can bug me at home. You got my phone number. It's all on Facebook. It's all on Facebook. My life is private, but it's yours, everybody. This is what I do. This is what I look like. This is what I like. This is where you can find me. But please respect my privacy. What? What are you talking about? People just love this stuff. They're hooked on it. Facebook is it's a drug. You should need a doctor's prescription to have a Facebook page. Because it's a drug. It's an opioid. We're facing drug problems in this country. No one's facing the Facebook problem. Facebook's taking over the world. It's getting into all parts of your life. Nothing can happen without signing into Facebook first. Mrs. Johnson, we're about to deliver your baby. I want you to push real hard. And what is your Facebook password?
What? Why do you need my Facebook password?
Well, to have the baby. You can't have a baby without the Facebook password.
What?
Yeah, come in quickly. Give me the Facebook. I have to get into Facebook before I can deliver the baby. It's important.
This is crazy. It's crazy.
Do you ever try to get a website domain name? Everything's taken. Everything's taken. Everything's taken. You can come up with the craziest name for a domain. Like, fillmypantswithsoot.com.
Damn it, somebody's already got it.
It's amazing. How can every single possibility.com be taken? Oh, you can always get like .biz and .feet, you know, all the ones that nobody ever uses. But the .coms, they're all taken, no matter what you can come up with. Let's see. Spackle my shoes with a leather puppy.com.
No, damn it, it's already taken. How's that possible? How is that even possible? How can it be taken? You got to be kidding me. It's taken. Everything's taken. Anything you come up with, it's taken. Somebody else came up with it. How's that possible?
How about www.lickmyfloorboardswithyourtongue while you juggle 5 different pasta shapes.com?
Oh, man, it's already taken.
It's weird. So I needed to search this out. We're talking to Greg Goldfarb. He's a small business expert, and we're talking about, actually, he's the Vice President of Commerce at GoDaddy. Oh, I know them. We're talking about the importance of websites in a small business or any business, any type of business. There's like no question anymore that everything needs a website. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just based on how consumers and how people generally look for information these days, everyone goes to their mobile phones to look for things.
Mm-hmm. And you have to have a separate mobile version in order to achieve that, right?
Well, not anymore, actually.
Oh, really?
So we, at GoDaddy, we just launched a new product called GoCentral, which is a new way to build a website that makes it easy to literally create the site from your mobile phone.
Oh.
It'll also look great on your mobile, and of course it looks great on other devices as well.
Okay.
And you can also create the site from other types of devices. Mm-hmm. But really, for the first time now, whenever you've got an idea or you're thinking about something new or changing your site, you can do it right from your mobile, and it's all the same site, whether you create it from your mobile or your desktop, and whether your visitors are coming from mobile or desktop.
So, so let's say you create a website on this platform, then you don't have to do a separate site. Is that what I'm understanding? In other words, it is universal?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we call it responsive, but the whole idea, you create it once, and
it's all the same
content, and it's automatically formatted, so it'll look great on whatever device the consumer is looking at it from. But it is, exactly. It's just one site.
Is there an extra cost to have that?
No, not the way we've done it. In fact, you can get started with a free trial. But it's not an extra price. I mean, we just think about it from the perspective that the reality is both businesses and their customers are on mobile devices more than anything else. So it's really just the new way of the world.
Yeah.
So it's the new way of building websites.
Yeah, because just about every other company that I know of charges you a separate fee to have it mobile friendly. So this is cool. This is good information. All right, are these do-it-yourself template kind of things?
Well, it's certainly do-it-yourself. In fact, we see people building sites in literally under an hour. So it's do-it-yourself for sure, and. We actually have made it a little bit different than traditional template-driven sites.
Uh-huh.
It's more actually customized to whatever the type of business you are.
Oh.
So we'll put together designs with relevant images based on the category.
Uh-huh.
You don't necessarily need to pick a template. It's got a little bit finer customization than that, depending on what the business is all about.
Interesting. Wow, so you can, like, try it, and no loss if you don't like it, but if you do, then it's a gain. So there's free trial involved, you say?
Yep, 30 days free trial, which you can get at GoDaddy.com. You don't even need to put a credit card down. We've really tried to design this to make it as easy as possible for
people
to check out the new way, to speak. So we're very happy to have to extend a totally free trial for 30 days, and you can access full functionality for everything that we offer, including even e-commerce and email marketing capabilities, which are an extension of the site builder itself.
So there is a high percentage of people that don't use desktops or laptops anymore. They're doing everything from their, I mean, they call it cell phones, but I think they're like mini computers is really the more accurate term. But is there a percentage of people that solely go on that?
Yeah, so far, we launched this just about a little over 3 months ago, and to date, we've seen over 20% of all users creating or updating and publishing sites from their mobile, which is really a whole new dynamic in the market. This is a new approach. So we're seeing very significant number of folks opting to do this and naturally doing this from their, like, as you say, really mobile personal computers. I think mobile really is the personal computer.
Yeah. Okay. How important is social media to GoDaddy and to websites? Everything seems to be hand in hand with social media. It's scaring the hell out of me, but that's like every year that plays a larger part, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we see social as a fantastic complement to your site, and certainly an important element of how consumers and businesses are connecting. And that's why with GoCentral, we've actually built it so that you can, as you create your site, you can also do things like create a Facebook page with matching branding and imagery, and you can certainly have social links on your site. So we really see social going hand in hand with building, creating your own online presence on your own site.
Okay, cool. No tweeting though.
You can have your handle, for consumers, your visitors to tweet from your, about your site and drive traffic to your site as well.
Okay.
But we're not. We've not built yet the capability to create a Twitter account from GoCentral.
Do you have the capability of stopping someone like a president from tweeting? Can you do that?
We're working on it, but no. We haven't approached that one yet.
That should be a priority. Okay, fine. All right. I think everybody is going to go to GoDaddy. I'm not doing a commercial here. I'm just saying I think everybody is going to try this because it's a no-lose deal. I just ask my listeners, wait till the end of the show before you go over there and do that. Thank you so much for your time today. It's very interesting. There's more information about how many people are actually getting into accessing their information from their cell phones and actually working their websites from them. Because these days, I mean, you can change it on a whim, like in a split second. In the old days, you had to call up your person and say, can you change this word here? I don't like, and then like maybe 3 days later, it might be changed. That isn't working anymore for most people anymore. It's like they need to change it and change it themselves now.
Yeah, and I think that's what people expect. I mean, if you think about it, everything from email to social to web browsing to photography, the go-to place of doing those things is mobile, and so that translates into an expectation, kind of an on-demand expectation among small business owners that when they've got an idea or when they need to do something for their business, that they can do it on the spot from their mobile. And so, think about folks who are, let's say, real estate agents, or maybe you've got an electrician company, or you're a fitness trainer, or you're a financial consultant. You're out and about constantly. And so having, beyond creating the site, people are continually coming up with new ideas or things they need to change or adapt. And so being able to do it from mobile just makes a ton of sense.
Wow, it's incredible.
And like you say, you certainly gone are the days where you need to call someone or send an email about making a change request.
Hey, that was awful. Okay, Greg, where do we go? As if I didn't know, but where do we go to take a look at all this?
Just go to GoDaddy.com and check out GoCentral.
So cool. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. There you have it. There you have it. There you go. There you have it. There you have it. There you go. There you have it. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow. If you can put up with this, you're a fine person. And I like you for that. Well, sort of. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Thank you for participating in this this social experiment of acceptance and tolerance.